Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Fun show coming up today. We got plenty to get to. Week one of the NFL season is in the books. We're going to start talking about some Monday Night Football later on in the show. I came up with a segment here because the old adage is week one is a liar. So I've come up with six storylines. We're going to say if it's a lie or if it's legit. NFL week one lies or legit. Spent a lot of time trying to come up with what the other word was going to be other than lies. So we'll also talk some college football. It is a big weekend in the state of Tennessee. I mean, week three, usually you don't see big SEC matchups like this, but you've got Tennessee, Georgia in Neyland. And you got Vandy, South Carolina out in Columbia. So we're going to talk about those games, some of the other big games coming up later this weekend. And, of course, lots of Titans talk today. And Brian Callahan yesterday in the press conference. We went off the air yesterday about 30 minutes before his press conference, and we're speculating about what he might say. I don't think I would have guessed it would have gone the way that it did. So we'll get into that as well. But I did want to start with some Monday Night Football reaction because we have the world's biggest Viking hater in studio today, and Nick Frazier said that the Minnesota Vikings were going to go 4-13. And to be fair, about 75% of that game, it looked like they were going to be a 0-1.
It did.
J.J. McCarthy did not look good. He threw a pick six. I was ready to come in here and talk about the comparison between J.J. McCarthy and Cam Ward and say, like, that is a guy, J.J. McCarthy, who looked like the moment was too big for him. Right. Cam Ward on Sunday in Denver did not look like the moment was too big for him. And then J.J. McCarthy comes out and just absolutely deals in the second half and wins the game.
Yeah, first I want to apologize to all Vikings fans out there if I offended you last week with my prediction of 4-13, especially Viking Matt and Skyler.
Yeah, Viking Matt.
It wasn't out of malice. It just, when you start clicking the buttons and the games start matching up, that's what happened. It turned out to 4-13, so apologies there. But on the J.J. McCarthy front, I guess, and, you know, Kevin O'Connell, going to give him his flowers. I mean, I wasn't too sure on the coaching guru until the J.J. McCarthy experience. I had to believe it to see it, and obviously saw it in the second half. It all unfolded. So congrats to the Vikings for their week one win. But overall, J.J. McCarthy, I think, it's going to work out now.
Yeah, I mean, it did not look good for J.J. in the first half. He looked lost out there, looked in over his head, and that was – I had fully prepared for that to be our first segment today, and he turned it around. On the opposite side, Caleb Williams, that first drive of the game, I was sitting there going, oh, my goodness, like, this is the Caleb Williams the Bears thought they were drafting. He was, what, 6-for-6 for 51 yards and then ran for a touchdown. He had the great rolling right play and just threw a dart to Rome Odunze on the sideline. It all looked good for Caleb Williams in the first drive or two, and then, you know, the offense fell apart. They only scored 3 points from the first drive of the game until the last drive of the game, and the pick six obviously was right in there too.
Yeah, I just I don't know what to look at when it comes to the second half. Was the Vikings offense that good? Or was Bears offense just, where'd they go?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was just so confused about. Now, nonetheless, like, the Bears defense did show up for the most part. Just that second half, all they had was that pick six drive, and that was really it. I think everything else kind of fell off, the wheels fell off for the most part.
Yeah, and the Bears are a very interesting team. And we talked about it. We did our preview last week, and they're a team with a lot of talent. Like, you look at their wide receivers, they got DeAndre Swift at running back, who's still an above-average player. You got two good tight ends. The offensive line is supposed to be solidified. And on that first drive, it looked like it was all clicking, but it is about consistency. We talked about this last year with Brian Callahan, of the scripted plays always seem to work for Brian Callahan. Like, the first drive always kind of looked good. Like, They scored on the first drive against the Bears last year, I believe. Yeah, the Tony Pollard run on that drive. So it was like they kind of had the early scripted portion of the offense on lock. But once they got into where Brian Callahan actually had to make decisions, it kind of fell apart. And I think that was kind of what happened with Ben Johnson last night. It was the offense looked crisp for the stuff they had prepared for. But once the Vikings started to make some adjustments, Brian Flores obviously is a great defensive coordinator. They just couldn't keep up. And, you know, heck of a comeback from the Vikings. We got two really good primetime games to wrap up week one. Really, in all four primetime games were good this weekend. Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday. So, you know, couldn't ask for much of a better week one in the NFL season.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think one little part of the Chicago Bears offense that will eventually come to being better at is adding Luther Burden as a true weapon. You know, they used him a lot last night in the special teams aspect of it. Kickoff return, punt return. There were one or two plays where they had him as like a, it was almost like a wide receiver screen or just like a little slot off to the side, and it were negative yards, unfortunately. But I think once you start incorporating him, like you're talking about adjusting on the fly to what the defense shows at you, I think you can start adding Luther Burden into the mix for that and that type of stuff, because a lot of teams don't have NFL tape on him.
Right.
I think a lot of teams have tape on Rome Odunze, you know, DJ Moore, not a lot on Colston Loveland, which I thought they should have targeted him a little bit more as well. I think you have to really start using a lot of those rookie assets and early on in the season, because when teams have a lot more film on them, then you can go back to your old reliables and your veterans.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, I think the Bears will be a decent team this year, but they did show some of the flaws that they have of just, you know, some inexperience, and we'll see what they can do moving forward. Jay from Laverne on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says JJ was a monster at Michigan. And to be honest, I think his injury last year that kept him out helped him, because he sat for a year. And I agree. I think it was good that he got a chance to sit behind Sam Darnold, because they had that structure in place for him already. I think he probably would have sat the whole year last year, even if he was healthy. But maybe that's part of why he struggled to start yesterday's game. That is the first full game he's played since the national championship against Washington a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was some rust to shake off. He looked really good in the second half. And I'm not a huge J.J. McCarthy believer. I know you're not a big J.J. McCarthy believer. Yeah. But I will... you know, eat some crow and say, I think he looked a lot better than I expected him to last night.
Absolutely. And that texture's point about him just sitting out that whole first year, it's just learning through osmosis. And just, I feel like Sam Darnold was learning along with J.J. McCarthy last season, because Kevin O'Connell seems to just know it all in some regard when it comes to quarterbacks. Like, I am full wholeheartedly saying, yeah, he is a quarterback guru now. And looking at the Titans a little bit, I feel like the Titans – wish they had what the Vikings had in Kevin O'Connell. That's probably what they thought they were getting, because Brian Callahan had stated, you know, Matthew Stafford, Peyton Manning, all these great quarterbacks. And then, you know, this all transpires in week one against Denver. What are we getting? The Dollar General version of Kevin O'Connell? Like, what's going on here?
Right. And with Kevin O'Connell, he is literally the exact definition of what Brian Callahan was when he got hired. He was an offensive coordinator who didn't call plays. He was Sean McVay's offensive coordinator when the Vikings hired him. And that's what the Titans were hoping for, that it's like, yeah, this guy doesn't have play calling experience, but he can be that quarterback guru. And I just wonder if maybe you looked at the quarterbacks that he quote-unquote developed,
right,
and maybe he wasn't as big of a part of it as we thought. Yeah. Like, he was with Peyton Manning in Denver. Peyton Manning was pretty developed at that point. Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, like, Joe Burrow may just be that good of a player. So, I don't know. I'm not 100% giving up on Brian Callahan, but you're right. Like, Kevin O'Connell has shown it that doesn't really matter who his quarterback is, he's going to turn them into a capable player in the NFL. Right now, it feels like Brian Callahan can't help out his quarterbacks at all.
And to that point as well, you look at Cam Ward against Denver, and even Callahan said it in his press conference after the game and on Monday yesterday that Cam Ward did a good job of adjusting to certain blitzes, certain sets.
Yeah.
And I think that's more of a credit to Cam Ward than it is to Brian Callahan.
Cam Ward was in control of the line of scrimmage. Like, that is one thing that you could see, is that he recognized what the defense was trying to do, and he was able to communicate that well. But it also was pretty chaotic watching him order people around. It's like, shouldn't some of the wide receivers have known where they were supposed to be? And I know Brian Callahan addressed it, and he basically brushed it off and was like, if you can point those out to me, I'd be happy to explain it to you. But anyway, I thought Cam Ward was in control on Sunday afternoon. But, you know, obviously it didn't help the Titans get the win. And Brian Callahan seemed to be impressed with what Cam Ward was able to do on Sunday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have any thoughts, you can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's time for Elbow Gate Day 2. And I understand, I listened to Robbie and Rex Road on the way in, and Robbie was getting a little upset with some texters saying, move on, don't talk about this anymore, it's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. Your head coach should know the rules. We're not going to spend an hour on it, but the response that he had at the press conference needs to be talked about. We will get to that coming up next. Nick Frazier in today, alongside Parker Kelly, Jake Lyman, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
Being a coach in the NFL that play's been around for a long time, and that
hold on, go ahead, John. Start over.
On the Iron Man play, I mean that rule has been in effect for a long time. I guess in retrospect, are you surprised yourself that you didn't know the correct interpretation of that rule?
Yeah, I think I got a little more clarity on it now at this point. At the end of the day, those things happen really fast. And you're starting to get ready for the next play call, and you're waiting on information from what the look looks like. And look, I misspoke on it after the game, and I'll own that. I'm aware of the rules. I understand the rules. Just, you know, again, a mistake that I made that I gotta correct, just like I'd ask our players to.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday clarifying why he did not challenge when Elikai Manor made a leap and grab right around midfield on 1st and 20. He got an elbow inbounds. Ruled incomplete, and the Titans just went merrily along and ran their next play. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Nick, Brian Callahan tied himself in knots yesterday. And honestly, I thought his response in his opening statement was exactly what he needed to say. Just say, I messed up, it's on me, I misinterpreted the rule, and just try and move on. People are going to remember this for a long time. Because it is not every day that an NFL head coach does not know a rule. And this isn't like, you know, not to bring up Mike Vrabel, but like Vrabel knowing the rule of like the Patriots playoff
game. The false start.
Yeah. Right, the false start and the delay of game, and then you can keep running clock. Like, it's not an obscure rule. This comes up at least once a week in the NFL of any body part other than the feet equals 2 feet. And Brian Callahan said clearly in his post-game press conference, well, an elbow doesn't equal 2 feet. Those were his exact words. And to say he misinterpreted the rule, I think that was the only way to say it, that, you know, it's on me, my mistake. But then he says in that clip, I misspoke. And, like, you didn't misspeak. You said it pretty clearly. An elbow doesn't equal 2 feet. He needed to get a foot down. And that cannot happen as an NFL head coach. It cannot happen. And again, it's one mistake. It's week one. But it was also an accumulation of things on Sunday. That one was just the most egregious thing that he did on Sunday in that game in Denver.
Yeah. I mean, even in that same clip that we returned with, he said, I understand it a little bit better. Like, even when you say, I understand it a little bit better, but then you say you misspoke, you're still contradicting yourself in the same thing you just said there.
Right, and to say, like, I understand the rules pretty well, it's like, clearly you didn't, and it's not, again, it's not like this is an obscure rule that comes up once a year or once every 2 years. This is, catches on the sideline happen all the time, and you have to know when something is a catch. Amani Hooker, you can see in the clip, Amani Hooker comes running in, pointing at his elbow, and saying, like, Elikai Manor got his elbow in. If Amani Hooker knows the rule, your head coach should know the rule.
Yeah, he should. It reminds me of that scene from The Office where Jim's asked to give the new guy the rundown. Hey, give me a rundown real quick. He's asking everybody around the office, well, what's a rundown? What's a rundown? Same thing with Callahan. Like, it's almost in his head probably thinking, oh, what's the 2 foot rule? What's the elbow rule here? Because he said earlier yesterday that he didn't want to throw anybody under the bus in his opening statement.
Right.
Who's the other coach? Because if that's the case for me, if it's, you know, the review team,
well,
or
Paul Kaharsky asked the question yesterday about Rob, who is the rules guy who's supposed to be in his ear. this is it's a failure on Brian Callahan. Ultimately, the buck stops with Brian Callahan. He is the head coach. He's got the red flag in his back pocket. Like, it is his fault. But the fact that no one came up to him and told him to challenge that is a failure of the entire staff. I also want to bring up, like, Brian Callahan almost made another crucial mistake. And again, we weren't on headset, so we don't 100% know this. But it looked like after that 70-yard return from Chim Dike that Cam Ward was going onto the field and was waiting on a play call from Brian Callahan. And Bones Fossil had to run down and hold up three to make sure he went and kicked the field goal instead of running a play with 6 seconds left on the clock. It's like Brian Callahan should be able to make these decisions by himself, but you needed somebody like Bones Fossil on that play to run to Brian Callahan or get in his ear and say, hey, that's worth a challenge.
Yeah, it's almost like there. Obviously, you mentioned there's a little bit of a lack of communication, but with the young guys, there's a lack of communication through this whole entire organization. Like, from play calling to knowing left from right, I just feel like Callahan is listening to too many people. You know what I mean? I think listening to the offensive coordinator, Nick Holtz, too much, maybe listening to Bill Hardigree too much, and luckily, you said, you know, John Fossil was there to help out with that whole situation, and he seems like the only competent guy that really is knowing football right now.
Well, and it goes back to him being a play caller, and I understand that is, I think Ian said it best on the last show on Robbie Rexroad, that you bring in a head coach who is a play caller because you don't want to lose your play caller. If you have an offensive coordinator who is a good play caller, he's going to get scooped up and made a head coach somewhere else. So I understand that. But on that 1st and 20, Elik Iyemanner gets called out of bounds. It's called incomplete. Well, Brian Callahan not only has to think about whether to challenge it, but he's got to call the next play too. It's like if he was just the head coach, he could make that decision. Maybe that should be Nick Holt's job. Like, hey, Nick Holtz, get in Brian Callahan's ear if you think something should challenge, because you're not really doing much else at that point, I don't think. Like, you're not calling plays. I'm sure Nick Holtz has plenty of responsibilities, but at that point, there is nothing pressing on him. Like, shouldn't that be something maybe he's looking for?
He should be.
I don't know. Like, that's somebody has to tell Brian Callahan there to challenge. And it is a failure to not know the rules and to come out and blatantly in your press conference and say the rule's wrong. It is a failure. It's week one, but I'll make the point that last year when Matt Eberflus messed up the clock management at the end and everyone thought it was so egregious, this is way worse than that. What Brian Callahan did on Sunday, not just this instance, but the end of half sequence, throwing the ball three times, and everything that went on Sunday, that was a worse coaching performance from Brian Callahan than Matt Eberflus in that Thanksgiving Day game against the Lions.
100% agree.
But that game was in prime time in November, and Matt Eberflus got fired. I'd make the point, if this game happened in week 10, Brian Callahan would not have a job right now.
Yeah, it'd be Monday, you're cleaning your office immediately.
Well, Titans fire people on Tuesday.
Well, that's right, sorry, my bad. Monday, you're cleaning stuff out, they make the announcement Tuesday. How about that?
Yes. I mean, I think it was a disaster on Sunday. And if this happened 2 months later, I think he would have gotten fired for what happened on Sunday. But you can't fire a head coach after week one, because then it looks bad on the organization for giving him the entire offseason with this team. So he's going to get a chance to try and redeem himself, but it really couldn't have gone worse in week one for Brian Callahan. Because again, I talked about this with Parker yesterday, of it's not just the decisions he made in the game that were bad. He also spent the entire offseason preaching no self-inflicted negatives. And you had 130 yards of penalties, including a personal foul on one of your captains in a moment where you could not give them a first down. Like, you can not have those issues when you spent the entire offseason saying you're trying to mitigate them.
Yeah, and I'll go back to the whole point you talk about the offseason. The whole point system game thing, that's for high school sissies. Forget about that. You're a professional football coach. You need to get down to the nitty-gritty, hand in the mud, and actually play football. You need to go through your plays week in and week out, go through walkthroughs, do all that. I'm sure they are, but it needs to be a little bit more in-depth. I think this has been handled a little bit too loosely this past offseason. I think Brian Callahan, and I'm kind of with the camp of, the Titans probably should have moved on from him because there was that story that came out from, I think, Jeremy Fowler in Tehran.
Right, saying that they considered it.
Yeah, they considered it. If you considered it and you're seeing this performance after week one, you should have went with your gut feeling there.
Right.
And I'm still in the same camp of back in the spring when I said in the offseason, 1-5, 1-6, Callahan's out of here, man.
Yeah.
If it ends up like that, he's gone.
That Patriots game is now looking like, I think that's the earliest that he would get fired. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be the bye week if things continue to trend in this direction or don't trend better, because he's got to show exponential growth fast. Like, this week has to be way better than what happened on Sunday in Denver. We have multiple texters, Robert and Mike from Las Casas, on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com saying maybe someone did tell Callahan to challenge the call. Robert says someone did tell him to challenge. Imani Hooker did. Now, how bad would that be if we found out, and we'll never find this out, that Rob or one of his coordinators was in his ear and said, challenge it. He got his elbow down. And Brian Callahan said, no, an elbow doesn't count as 2 feet.
Wow.
Like, if he was the one who just didn't understand the rule and overruled somebody and didn't challenge, that would be way worse.
Yeah, and it's a twofold situation, because one, it shows you don't trust your players, and two, you take your judgment over somebody else's. Like, and I look at it as, if he's a captain, trust your captain.
Yeah.
Just trust him.
Well, I mean, like,
and Vrabel did. When Vrabel was here, he would trust his players to make those decisions.
Well, it's like, we don't know if Imani Hooker actually went and talked to Brian Callahan, but like, you see in the clip that he's pointing to his elbow. If Imani Hooker noticed it, somebody else should have noticed it too, right? And you saw a bunch of staff members, I don't know who they were, going catch. And I get on the sideline, if it's your team, it's a catch.
Right.
But, like, it was worth a challenge. Your offense was struggling at that point, and you finally got an explosive play to get across midfield. It was first and 20. Like, what are the odds that that drive turns out to be anything on second and 20? Not very good. But if you challenge it, it at least gives you a chance. I understand you don't want to lose that timeout, but Sean Payton wasn't caring about timeouts on Sunday. Sean Payton challenged 3 times, 4 times,
mm-hmm.
and most of them ended up being right. But like the Gunnar Helm one, was that obvious to anyone that wasn't a catch?
Yeah, I'd say so. He had, what, 1 foot in, right? He was laying
So he caught it, and Singleton moved the ball at the last second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're talking about different
players. Like, yeah. He moved it at the last second, and he didn't bring the ball in fully and completely before he stepped out of bounds. But in the, 20 seconds that Sean Payton had, do you think that he got a definite, yes, that is incomplete? No, because it was that close. But he trusted his guy. He knew that was a big play, and he challenged it. It ended up working out. Titans would have been set up in the red zone if that was a catch. Instead, they had to settle for a field goal. So, It was horrible from Brian Callahan on Sunday, and it has to be better immediately. Like, if you come out of Sunday's game and you still have, I really doubt you're going to have 130 yards of penalties again, but if penalties are a main reason you lose on Sunday and there's another game management issue, whether that's play calling, whether that's challenge, whether that's clock management, I think the conversation starts to become when, not if, Brian Callahan gets fired.
Yeah, I'm sure those conversations are already happening for the most part. And to the whole point about Sean Payton and challenging plays and just that whole just game in general, Denver handed them that game. There were a handful of times where Brian Callahan could have capitalized on some of his play calling, and he didn't. To me, it was a little predictable. I know we'll get into that a little later on, but that stuff infuriates me, and I try to just keep a cool head about it, but the Titans, to me, it bothers me to know that their head coach doesn't know the X's and O's for the most part when it comes to stuff like that. Or just, I guess, he knows the X's and O's. It's just the game planning situation.
Right. Well, and it's one really bad example of not knowing the rules. I am sure Brian Callahan is, like he said, I know the rules of this game pretty well. I'm sure he does. But to not know that rule in that moment is horrible. It really is. And again, it's week one, so he's not getting fired. He's going to have a chance to prove that it was a fluke. But based on what we saw last year, you're now 3-15. Like, I'm trending in the direction that it wasn't a fluke. It's just a continuation of things we saw last year.
It's going to be tough to right the wrongs in week two because we all know this LA team is not a team to mess with.
No.
They mean business.
Yep. Going to be another tough challenge on Sunday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, you can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue the conversation coming up next. How can things get better this week? What do we need to see from Brian Callahan to feel like this isn't going to be a complete disaster of a season and that he'll be gone? And kind of in the same vein as Ken Whisenhunt, like fired early, halfway through the season, and Titans have to go with an interim guy for most of the rest of the year in Cam Ward's rookie season. We'll talk about that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Later today on ESPN 94.9, the Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers at First Horizon Park with first pitch at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, the Fan, is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, that's all I can really add to that.
I think about the two sacks after the muffed punt yesterday. You said you needed to see him.
Yeah.
Did Cam have places to go that were safe on those two plays?
Yeah, there was. We got beat pretty quick. You know, I'm not going to put that all on Cam. You know, I think the pressure was happening fast, and the ball on both those plays could have definitely had quicker answers, certainly. The first one would have been tough. The outlet there in that particular throw would have been to Tony, and Tony got stuck trying to get out. That ball's got to go to the back. And then the third down play, hard to say that that's on Cam. That pressure came pretty quickly. We were in a spot where, generally speaking, was expecting some potential heavy pressure on that fringe area to see if they could try to knock us out and or have us force the ball out quick. So we called a max protection. They didn't bring the pressure. And we didn't get the execution, the protection, you know, in that moment as good as we would have liked. So those things, again, you know, when they don't work and those things happen, it's the criticisms are all fair. And ultimately, I got to do a better job at helping put Cam in a better spot.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday talking about Cam Ward, the two sacks that knocked them out of field goal range after the muff punt. And in general, they have to do a better job of helping Cam Ward out. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Brian Callahan, he had a bad game on Sunday. And I said in the last segment that I think if that game happened in November, he probably doesn't have a job right now. But it's September. He's going to get chances to redeem himself. And I think that is the most important thing for us to see on Sunday. And it's not just Brian Callahan. The rest of the offense, they got to help Cam out. Like, nobody helped Cam on Sunday. And I don't think Cam played a perfect game. I gave him a C-plus yesterday. But nobody gave him any assistance. I think it was 5 drops total. And not all of them were easy catches. But I think it was 5 drops, 3 of them from Calvin Ridley. And then you had the 2 plays. We just talked about the Iron Manor that should have been challenged. And Gunnar Helm, where the ball gets knocked out. Like, you complete those 7 passes, maybe this is a different game. Or even you complete 4 of those 7 passes, maybe it's a different game. And they've got to do a better job around Cam Ward, because I saw a tweet yesterday, because there were a lot of cut-ups being thrown out of Cam Ward's day on Sunday, and I forget who it was, but somebody tweeted out a video and said, are we getting the real-life example of what if Mahomes got drafted to the Bears? And I'm not saying Cam Ward is Patrick Mahomes, but that is the risky run of, like, do you finally have a talented quarterback and you're just going to ruin him because you don't have the coach and you don't have the players around him?
It's very possible. I think they are on that trajectory, now that you mentioned that. I didn't even see that online. That is a very good comparison. Cam Ward is a really good talent and possibly could damage his future. Because this offensive line right now with J.C. Latham, whatever that status is on him at right tackle, and then you have Dan Moore Jr., who, you know, not a lot of people talked about him in the offseason, and now there's some question marks around him.
Well, it's funny, because, like, Dan Moore, he looked good in the preseason, training camp. The best thing about Dan Moore is no one was bringing him up, because he looked solid. And the first half, at the very least, in Denver, he was not good. Mm-hmm. Benito was getting by him. Consistently, he got called for a hold at one point, I think. it wasn't good from Dan Moore. It was game one against a really good defense. Nick Benito, maybe one of the more underrated players in the NFL. Like, he doesn't get a whole lot of national attention, but that's a really good pass rusher that they had to go against. Guess what? It's not going to get any easier. You're facing Jared Verse coming up on Sunday against the Rams. This offensive line has to be better, and you're right. We won't find out about J.C. Latham's status at least a little bit until Wednesday. And if he's out, I don't know how good I feel about Ali Udo playing right tackle. I think he's fine. I don't think he's going to be Dennis Daly, but
I don't know.
I don't think he's going to be – I think he's a below-average tackle at the very least.
Yeah. What I saw in Denver of Ali Udo, here's my perspective on going into to face the Rams. Whoever's healthy Tuesday, plan on them playing on Sunday. I know there's the opportunity of, you know, limited participants, you know, get ready for the game, whatever. Just be ready for whoever's, you know, healthy on Tuesday, because when it comes to Sunday, you have to bring your A game against this Rams defense.
Yeah.
You have to.
And Brian Callahan, the way he talked about J.C. Latham yesterday didn't sound encouraging.
Mm-mm.
Because he said, the one that we have to keep an eye on the most is J.C. This is something he's been dealing with for a while. And it's that always, when they say it's something they've been dealing with and it's kind of been consistent, sounds like an IR stint. I'm not saying that, but like that's kind of how it goes of like, do we want to put him on IR right now, give him a month, and get him back healthy? Or do you want to keep trying to fight through it and hope it doesn't get worse? I'm not saying, like, he could be a full participant on Wednesday. I have no idea.
Right.
But just the way he answered that question doesn't sound like it's going to be, I would guess he doesn't play Sunday.
Yeah, it didn't sound optimistic. That's a great way to put it, Jake. I'm all in the camp of just start Ali Udo, see what happens. Because, look, I look at this Titans roster as front-loaded, where the starters are the guys that are going to be your breadwinners. But your depth is not there. And we all knew this going into the upcoming season. The depth's not there defensively and offensively. Like, both ways, it's just not there.
Yep.
So when you are kind of left on a stranded island on key, you know, positions, especially at the tackle position, right tackle, we all thought would be okay because of J.C. Latham.
Right.
Now that he's hurt, you got a turnstile in Ali Udo. I mean, it looked bad.
Yeah, I mean, you saw as soon as Latham left the game, Vance Joseph just sent pressure on every play. And Cam dealt with it fine at some points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on the last drive of the game, Cam Ward stood in there against the blitz and delivered. His receivers dropped the ball. It has to be better. And it starts with Brian Callahan. I think the number one thing you need to see from Brian Callahan on Sunday is just better feel for the rhythm of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, penalties are going to be big, but Brian Callahan in a game can't control when his team commits a penalty. And challenges and timeouts are always important, but you don't know if there's going to be a big moment where you need to challenge a play. But he needs to have a better feel as a play caller and a coach for when you need to be aggressive, when you need to be conservative. The two sequences that should have been completely flipped on Sunday, at the goal line on your own 7, end of the first half, run the ball into the line 3 times and get to the locker room. When you force a fumble, the second interception, Xavier Woods interception, you're set up in opponent's territory. Take a chance. Sudden change, go try and make a play. Instead, they ran Julius Chestnut on 3rd down and kicked a field goal. He's got to have a better feel for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely a rhythm thing for sure. And, you know, we mentioned earlier about the tackles, and we'll get more into the offensive line, but something I want to make the comparison of, when Mike Vrabel was here in Nashville and had Derrick Henry as the bell cow, to me, Vrabel used those tight ends as extra offensive linemen. And that's something I feel like the Titans have gone away from, especially under Brian Callahan. This has been pass first, then run. And we've kind of seen the predictability of plays, like you're talking about with rhythm. Tony Pollard, we all saw those run plays that would be run on first down and then throw here, throw there. Like, it was too predictable.
Yeah.
And Denver caught up to that. Get back to some of those old habits that made the engine run here in Tennessee.
And the Broncos' defense is really good. It's not quite as good on the back end. Like, you don't have Patrick Surtain and Riley Moss.
Yeah.
Bookending cornerbacks. So, you maybe have a chance to take some shots on Sunday. Can the offensive line hold up? That's the question. Because you've got Jared Verse. You've got Byron Young, who was Jared Verse's teammate at Florida State, Braden Fisk.
Yep, Braden. Too.
Like, that defensive line is just as good, if not better, than what you saw against the Broncos on Sunday.
They ran a lot of stunts against Houston, by the way.
Right, and they held, I mean, Titans didn't score a touchdown on Sunday, neither did Houston. So going to be a tough test, but you got to see improvement, and it's got to start with Callahan just having some rhythm in the game, and you feel like he's got a feel for the flow, because he did not on Sunday. And again, that's probably like third or fourth on the priority list of bad things Brian Callahan did on Sunday, but it's got to be better. Because again, penalties, that's something you teach during the week. You can't control it on game day. Like, pre-snap stuff, sure, but stuff's going to happen in the heat of the moment. You can't have 130 yards in penalties again. But you also don't know about challenges and timeouts and stuff. That all is just random as the game goes along. But every game, you have to have a feel. And Brian Callahan needs to have a feel on Sunday, because that was a huge part of why Cam Ward statistically didn't have a good game. Yeah, the drops hurt, but it was just like he didn't set Cam Ward up for success on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't want to jump the gun on this question to you, Jake, but if the Titans don't score a touchdown against the Rams and they lose in bad fashion, like we're saying by two scores or maybe three scores, let's go three scores. Is the clock now ticking quicker? Like, would you say maybe pull the trigger on saying bye-bye quicker than people think?
Let's talk about it coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday edition of Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. Wrapping up hour number one here on Next Man Up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. Talking Titans. It was a rough one on Sunday, 20-12 against the Broncos. Brian Callahan catching a lot of flack, especially for the challenge that he did not make on Elik Eiemanner's 20-yard catch on the sideline. An elbow does, in fact, equal 2 feet. And Brian Callahan kind of twisted himself into a pretzel yesterday trying to answer the questions about that challenge. You asked a question of if it looks just as bad on Sunday. Offense doesn't score a touchdown. If there's a lot of penalties, if he makes another bad game management decision, does the clock start ticking a little bit faster? Does the seat get really hot real quick? I think yes, but it's just one of those things in the NFL where you just don't fire a coach this early into the season. Because again, it looks bad on the organization for having them there in the first place. And that's why we were talking about it. The Jeremy Fowler article comes out where they say there was serious consideration given to firing Brian Callahan. It's like, man, if there was serious consideration, you should have done it, because now you're stuck where you gave this guy the offseason, preseason, training camp, and it's like if you fire him after 2 weeks, you just wasted a whole preseason of Cam Ward's development with a coach who's not there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Brian Callahan in his press conferences, he seems like a nice guy, right? But to me, it's almost like he's nervous to talk to the media. Like, as a head coach, you can't be nervous.
Yeah,
you got to face the fire.
You could kind of tell there was like a pit in his stomach talking about the Eiemanner stuff yesterday.
Yeah, like he like hesitated, right? He goes, I know the Eiemanner thing.
That's why you all are here.
Yeah, and like when you say stuff like that and you're not truly confident on what you're saying, to me, that just goes to show you there's a lack of inexperience as a head coach, which obviously there is, but just being, a second and third year guy, you got to, I don't know, find more of an established name.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, fire him today, but I'm looking at more of, the 1-5, the 1-6. What if it's 1-3 or 1-4? Like, it may be a 2-week difference.
Right.
Does that really make a difference, do you think? I mean, yes or no?
I don't think the record matters quite as much, because, again, I didn't think the Titans were going to win on Sunday, but the way that they lost was just so discouraging, because the Broncos tried to lose that game. They did. And because of incompetence by the head coach, you couldn't take advantage. And it wasn't like there were other factors. The players didn't play well either. Wide receivers didn't catch. Offensive line didn't block. But, the head coach was a large reason why you lost that game. The Broncos, a playoff team, that might be the worst game the Broncos play all year. Mm-hmm. And you still couldn't beat them because you just completely botched the game management. And if it happens again, I you don't want to keep him just for the sake of saying, like, oh, we kept him for a certain amount of weeks. But it's like, you also, do you fire him and make Cam Ward play 3 months of his rookie season with an interim head coach, knowing that he's not in the system that he's going to be in next year? Somebody, Skyler made a good point of, if Brian Callahan does get fired, what do you think of Mike McCarthy as the head coach?
I wouldn't hate it.
Like, I think that might be the type of coach. It doesn't have to be Mike McCarthy exactly. I know that there are mixed feelings on Mike McCarthy around the NFL, mm-hmm. but that is a guy who has been a head coach of a Super Bowl winning team, and he knows how to run an offense. He knows how to develop a quarterback. Like, maybe that is the type of coach you need. Kind of a happy medium between a Mike Vrabel and a Brian Callahan, where it's a guy who has experience and knows how to be the CEO of an NFL franchise, and also a guy who can develop a quarterback. Because Mike Vrabel couldn't develop a quarterback to save his life. Brian Callahan at least has a history of being part of good development of quarterbacks. But he doesn't have the experience and looks like he's in over his head. Maybe a Mike McCarthy-type coach is what you would need.
And if it is Mike McCarthy, and I'm not trying to bring Chad Brinker into
this. That's where the connection would come from.
Yeah, there's that Green Bay connection. So you're thinking, well, I'm killing two birds with one stone. I'm saving, you know, Chad Brinker in some regards, saving money, looking from a more of a front office standpoint. But I just it reminds me of the situation when Bill Belichick, you know, was fired from New England. They brought Gerard Mayo in. It's like the DeBoer thing. You don't want to be the guy after Saban. You don't want to be the same guy after Belichick. You don't want to be the guy after Vrabel from Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I think Callahan's that middleman, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You got to find some form of precedent in a coach. And I think McCarthy would be a guy. That's a great one by Skyler.
And I know there have been people asking, like, why would anyone want to take the Titans job when they know Amy Adams might fire them after a season and a half? It's like, there are only 32 of these jobs. People are going to take them. Yeah. And if you do a good job, you won't get fired. And I don't know, Mike McCarthy, I don't know if it would be perfect, but somebody like that, you need somebody with experience. I don't know if you can do the up-and-coming coordinator thing again, unless there's like a super hot name out there, like a Ben Johnson. But I think you need to go get someone with experience. Benjamin asks, what about going for Spags from KC, Steve Spagnuolo? I think he's pretty happy to just be the DC in Kansas City. Like, if he was going to leave, he would have been interviewing for some jobs the last couple of years. I don't think I've heard of him interviewing for a job. I think he's content being the defensive guy for Andy Reid in Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's content. He'll probably ride out on the high horse with Andy Reid as well.
Yeah.
That nice chariot.
I mean, it's early. Again, Callahan's not fired yet. He has a chance to prove that Sunday was a fluke. But again, with what we've seen from last season and Sunday, it's not trending in the right direction. It's got to be better, and that starts on Sunday with game management, offensive play calling, and everything that goes. Like, he has to look like he's in command as a head coach. Mm-hmm. He did not look like that on Sunday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, you can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will get back to the Titans in the final hour of the show. But I have a fun game here that I want to try out, because everybody says that week one in the NFL is a liar. And it can be true. There are times where last year the Saints scored 47 points in week one and everyone thought they might be world beaters. They didn't end up being very good. I have six storylines. We're going to spend the next couple of segments going through. Do we think that they are lies or legit? We'll do it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.